This is Movies for the Blind, episode 229, Swing Hostess, part 1 of 2.
Carry on, Bertha.
Hello and welcome to Movies for the Blind, where you can enjoy films without looking at a screen. I'm Valerie Hunter. You know, I'm always learning things doing this podcast, and with this film, I learned about a technology I'd never known existed. We all know about jukeboxes, right? Back in my day, records and later CDs were played automatically in a machine when you paid your change and pressed buttons to pick the song. These days, jukeboxes still exist in bars and clubs, but powered via satellite and computer. But there was a time in the 1940s where you could step up to a jukebox and make your selection through a phone line, talking to an actual human operator who would then get your record from a central bank of records and play it via the phone line to your venue. The technology actually goes back to not long after the invention of the phone, when Europeans enjoyed the theatrophon to listen to concerts and plays by subscription. While the popularity of the telephone jukebox was short-lived, it was an important stepping stone to what would eventually become Muzak. But Muzak may not make for a very interesting movie, so let's go back to when you could call for a song from a real live operator. From 1944, this is Swing Hostess. PRC Pictures, Inc. presents Martha Tilton in Swing Hostess. With Iris Adrian, Charles Collins, Cliff Nazaro. The cast: Judy, Martha Tilton, Marge, Iris Adrian, Benny, Charles Collins, Bobo, Cliff Nazaro, Freilich, Harry Holman, Blodgett, Emmett Lynn, Phoebe, Betty Brodell, Joe, Earl Bruce. Screenplay and original story by Louise Rousseau and Gail Davenport. Production manager, Bert Sternbach. Director of photography, Jack Greenhalgh. Special effects, Ray Mercer. Assistant director, Melville DeLay. Sound engineer, Max Hutchinson. Musical director, David Chudnow. Songs, music and lyrics by Jay Livingston and Ray Evans and Louis Bellin. Produced by Sigmund Neufeld. Directed by Sam Neufeld. A clock reads 9:08 on top of a tall building. At the bottom is a sign: United Jukebox and Recording Company, booking agents. A young blonde woman steps up to it. Then she approaches two doors and pushes them to enter a busy lobby. She walks straight to a reception desk.
Benny Jackson auditions.
Down the corridor, second door on your left.
Thank you.
As she goes that way,
Mr. Benny Jackson is expecting me.
Down the corridor, second door on your left.
Mike.
The taller blonde saunters that way.
Hello, Phoebe.
Why, Judy Elvin, what are you doing here?
Same thing you are, I guess, auditioning for that spot with Benny Jackson's band.
Oh, I didn't know you really sang.
Judy smirks and leads the way through a door.
I'd never really have come over, except Mr. Jackson was so anxious to hear my voice. I don't for that day I'll take the job.
They head for another door, while in a studio.
Ready to start?
Anytime. Give me a test, will you, Joe?
Sure.
Joe adjusts the microphone as the first man goes into the control booth. Adjusting a machine, he nods to Joe through a window.
1, 2, 3, 4, testing.
In an office, three men listen on a speaker.
All right, Joe. Sure you have the cue straight?
Yes, Mr. Freilich, I think so.
Well, we'd better check. Now, when I flash this light several times like that...
A light flashes in the studio.
It means we don't want to hear anymore. Get rid of the girl.
Right, sir.
That study light means send the girl up to the office.
Right, sir. Shall we begin the auditions?
Ready, Benny?
A pipe-smoking man nods.
Start any time now, Joe.
Freilich turns off the intercom.
Sure nice of you to let us use your office like this, Mr. Freilich.
Oh, nonsense. When my star orchestra's opening in town, the least I can do is to find them a singer and a few specialty acts.
Well, by the way, what is happening to those acts?
Now, don't you worry about a thing except finding that girl singer. I'm taking care of the acts, all right.
But when do we audition those?
We'll have them together in a day or so. Oh, incidentally, I ran across a girl I think you can use. Pretty little thing. Blonde.
I know those blondes of yours. Hey, remember Chicago?
No, this really is a lovely child. Her name's Phoebe.
I'll bet she comes from a fine old southern family.
Why, Bobo, how'd you know? Have you met Phoebe?
I know the type.
Well, I tried to reach her for the auditions, but she was out.
Yeah, that's fortunate.
I'll tell you what. I'll have her make a record, and you can listen to that. You'll see I'm right.
We'll listen to the record.
In studio reception, Joe counts the hopefuls.
Hiya, Judy.
She waves.
All right, girls, who's first?
All the women gather around him.
One at a time. Here, honey, you come first.
Thank you.
A brunette goes inside with him.
Well, how do you like that? I was here before.
Later, the auditions continue. As the engineer monitors the sound, Joe watches him and the singers, and a piano player plays. One by one, the ladies sing. The light flashes. Frelick, Benny, and Bobo listen. The singers keep coming. The piano player grimaces. And so does Joe. The engineer shakes his head. In the office.
Here we go again, boss.
Bobo points at the button, which Frelick pushes, flashing the light in the studio, sending a singer out.
Just out of voice today. Now, if Mr. Jackson will let me come in tomorrow...
I understand. Good day.
She leaves.
You're next.
And Phoebe approaches with a clutch. Joe lets her in with a smile at Judy. In the studio, Phoebe strides to the piano, where she drops the clutch.
I do hope you know this piece.
The piano player unrolls a score and sets it on his stand. The men in the office listen.
It's music to my ears when you hold me near.
That's terrible.
Oh, wait a minute. Let's see how bad she really is.
Maybe you could use her for a crowd chaser.
Are you kidding? Where would you get the crowd from?
Another man walks in.
Mr. Jackson, they're missing.
Lost.
Who's lost?
The orchestrations. They didn't come.
The orchestrations didn't come. Where are they?
I don't know. The baggage got rerouted in Chicago. Wartime, they say.
So what are they going to do, ship them through Guadalcanal? We can't open without music.
I told them, boss.
Well, don't just stand there. Do something.
Well, I've done all I could.
Oh, an opening 5 days off and we'd lost the orchestrations.
Then he grabs a phone.
Now, give me Bert Sternberg in Chicago. No, I'll hold the line. I knew I should have carried those things through myself.
Yeah, it was only a small trunk.
Yes, I'm waiting. Would you cut her off, please?
Frelick gets the light flashing in the studio. The piano player notices and stops.
That's all, sister.
But I haven't finished. What do you mean by stopping me in the middle of my song?
Joe folds up her score.
But Mr. Jackson wanted to hear me sing.
Well, he's heard you sing.
She grabs her clutch and he ushers her out.
I've never been treated like this before in all my life. I'll speak to Mr. Frelick about this.
In reception.
Now, I just came over here as a favor to Mr. Jackson in the first
place.
Well,
he's heard you. You're next, Judy.
Judy gets up and crosses the room to Joe, who ushers her into the studio.
Don't look so nervous.
But I am.
Listen, you just sing like you did this morning at the boarding house and you'll be all right.
I'll try.
She gives her case to the piano player, who takes out her music as Joe adjusts the microphone. He smiles at Judy, who steps up to the mic. As the engineer monitors from the booth, she sings.
Let's capture this moment and take it to heart tonight. Let us live all our life to come, just repeating this fleeting delight. Let's make this moment be our pattern for ecstasy. Though you're distant or next to me, may we still...
The piano player and Joe smile, and the light stays off.
Let's seal it with flame.
The engineer smiles. But in the office...
Yes, I'm still waiting. You better check back over at the hotel, then meet us over at the baggage department at Grand Central.
Okay, boss.
The other man leaves.
Hello, is that you, Sternberg? Say, have you got a duplicate set of orchestrations? Yeah, ours were lost in transit. Will you ship them out Air Express right away? Now, if you can make that 5 o'clock plane, they'll be here in time for rehearsal tomorrow. Yeah. Swell. Meanwhile, we'll keep checking with the baggage master here. Oh, thanks a lot.
He hangs up.
Everything happens to us.
I'll call you later, Mr. Frelick. Come on, Bobo.
Benny and Bobo leave. and Frelick shakes his head, not listening to Judy.
Let's capture this moment and carry it through this moment.
The piano player and Joe share a smile. In the office.
That's all, Joe.
Frelick turns to the intercom.
That's all, Joe. Tell the girls they can go home now. No more auditions today.
What about that last girl, Mr. Frelick?
She was terrible.
Joe turns off the intercom.
Old Tin Ears sounded swell to me.
You were the best of the lot, kid. I'm sorry.
Thanks a lot anyway. You've been awfully nice.
Later, at Mr. and Mrs. Blodgett's theatrical boarding house, Judy steps into the foyer sadly. Carrying her music, she walks across the foyer to a doorway and watches three acrobats tumbling in the next room. After some quick flips, one of them turns to her.
Hi, Judy. How'd you make out with Jackson?
I didn't.
Oh, too bad.
As he backflips away, a white bird flies by.
Mary!
Judy runs across the room to fetch it from the acrobat's pyramid. She carries the dove out as a magician comes downstairs.
Hello, Merlini. I don't see Mary, but here's Martha.
No, thanks.
She hands it to him.
How'd you make out with Jackson?
Not so good.
What do you suppose Mary got to? I need her for my act tonight.
When did you see her last?
Early this afternoon when Mrs. Blodgett came up to see about the ranch.
Ranch? Did you have it?
Hmm? No.
They both look up, thinking.
No. Not Mary. She wouldn't dare eat my act.
You don't know Mrs. Blodgett.
Is that you, Judy?
Hi, Marge.
They look upstairs as a woman comes down.
Any luck? How'd you make out with Jackson?
No.
Oh. Well, don't worry, kid. Guys like Jackson just don't appreciate good singing.
An older man in a bathrobe approaches.
Mr. Blodgett, have you seen Mary?
Mary? No, I don't believe I've had the pleasure. Oh, there was a Mary in Des Moines, I remember. Oh.
Did you look under the bed? Under the dresser? In the drawer?
I've looked everywhere.
Well, she must be around here someplace. Let's give another look in your room.
Oh.
They all go to his room.
I have just remembered about Mary. Mary, she was of the theater.
More birds sit on a table.
Yes, Mary, a beautiful girl. She was with the team of Ross and Rowe. Yes, I remember. It was in Butte, Montana. Cold? Why, your ears would freeze to your hat. It was the...
Merlini, did you look in your hat?
Taking off his black top hat, he brightens, then pulls out a chicken.
Mary!
You almost made me late. Another stunt like that and you'll wind up on toast. With mushrooms.
I can use some of that.
Me too. Let's put on the feedback, Marge.
By the way, I heard you were talking of my wife.
Soon after, Judy and Marge walk to a bar and grill, then step inside. As a bartender cleans glasses behind the bar, they go to a table. They sit.
Judy, you really look beat down and trampled on.
I am.
Listen, why don't you take some kind of a job?
And look for auditions in your spare time.
Yeah.
But if I get a job, I won't have any spare time.
Well, if you don't get a job, you won't need any spare time.
Meaning?
Meaning that you can't get any place with that sour puss. Keep up your morale. Smile and show your pretty teeth.
You mean like this?
She smiles glamorously.
And we'll look for a job that has something to do with music.
They turn to a waitress.
What do you have?
What's good?
T-bone steaks, pork chops, hamburger, fried chicken, and rabbit.
T-bone steak.
I just said that's good, but we don't have any. Maybe you better have a salami sandwich.
Oh, well, that's what we had in mind.
Okay.
She steps away. Nearby, Benny and Bobo step to a jukebox.
Got a dime, Bobo? Got a dime.
In front of the jukebox, which says telephone music, Bobo hands him a dime, and Benny deposits it.
Number, please.
Have you got Sweet Jam by Benny Jackson?
I don't think it's in yet, but I'll see.
At the table.
That's Jackson again. I've heard enough Jackson for one day.
Benny turns to them.
What's wrong with Jackson?
He's got a tin ear.
A deaf mute who thinks he's an orchestra leader.
Strictly a phony. That guy doesn't know about music.
That record hasn't come in yet, so try tomorrow.
What do you mean, deaf mute, phony?
I beg your pardon.
Bobo's still by the jukebox.
You don't know anything about music, Jackson's or any others. You're just a dumb little cap of fatteries. Girls, you play the music and they go on the band, you think just because your salary the hit the rate? We have music born of the radio.
We don't have any foreign recordings.
You can't talk to us like that. You don't know that phony orchestra leader like we.
I know plenty. And it burns me up to hear people talk about something they don't know anything about.
You mustn't be impatient with our operators. They try to do their best under present conditions. We're extremely short of help right now.
I'm sorry.
Would you like to hear Leave a Face It?
No, thanks. Leave a Skip It.
Excuse us. We gotta go. Come on, Judy.
The women stand.
Wait a minute now. About this Jackson guy, what's so wrong with him?
Everything. She auditioned for him today, and she's the best singer in New York City. He doesn't know a good voice when he hears one.
Well, why don't you give the poor deaf mute another chance? Maybe he wasn't wearing his earphones.
Earphones wouldn't help him. He needs to be completely rewired for sound. Cancel our salami sandwich, will you?
They leave.
With or without? With. Let's get a couple earphones.
Outside.
Marge, where are we going?
Did you hear what that jukebox operator said?
What?
There's a shortage of help.
So?
I told you I'd get you a job that has something to do with music. As of tomorrow, you'll be queen of the American jukebox operators. Jukebox Judy. Gosh.
Marge leads her on.
Job with music.
Later at the jukebox offices.
Yeah. Am I quite clear?
Judy nods.
I simply cannot impress upon you strongly enough the need of accuracy in your filing. Every time you finish playing a record, see that it's returned to the proper slot. Otherwise, you will find yourself hopelessly lost in records. Am I quite clear?
She turns to the racks of records and pulls a disc out.
As you see, each number is marked in white on the record itself. Am I quite clear?
Yes, ma'am.
She puts the disc back and turns to a flashing light.
There's your first call. Answer it.
Stepping to a control board, Judy picks up a phone and presses a button for a cafe.
Number, please.
Number 20.
Yes, sir.
Mama. She steps to the racks, pulls out a record, then takes it to a turntable by the button.
Okay.
Then she starts it playing.
You shouldn't have any trouble if you follow my instructions. To the letter.
I'll do my best.
The supervisor steps away. And Judy takes another call.
Number, please. Thank you.
She returns to the racks. As the day goes on, the lights for jukeboxes flash when customers insert coins. Judy takes the calls and plays the records, which get heard through the jukeboxes. She keeps taking calls. Sometimes as many as a half a dozen records play at Judy's station, each above the lights for each venue. She picks out another record. Later.
Miss Alvin, I particularly stress the necessity of keeping the records properly filed.
Yes, ma'am.
Number, please.
Excuse me.
She answers another call.
Number, please.
It's Benny.
Benny Jackson recording of Sweet Jam in yet?
Apparently, I didn't make myself quite clear. Carelessness is something we cannot tolerate. The records must be filed in order. Otherwise, no end of confusion results.
Benny listens.
When I told you that this afternoon.
Pardon me if I've tuned in on a busy line.
I'm only to hear a record.
What number would you like, sir?
Benny Jackson's recording of Sweet Jam.
Yes, sir.
She goes through records piled on a table as the supervisor steps away.
Jackson at a time like this.
Then hands her a disc for Sweet Jam by Benny Goodman.
Thank you.
But Judy puts it on a turntable and plays it.
I realize this is your first day here, but hereafter, the records must be filed in order. Am I quite clear?
Yes, ma'am.
She walks off, and Judy takes a breath. She answers again.
Number, please.
Listen, dear, I asked for the Benny Jackson platter of Sweet Jam.
I gave it to you, sir.
No, dear, that isn't Benny Jackson.
She takes off the record and looks at it.
I'm sorry, sir. I'll try to find you the right one.
She sets it on the pile. Joe walks in.
Well, small world, isn't it? How long have you been working here?
Too long. This is Marge's idea of a musical career. Besides, the gal has to eat.
Yes, so's a man. Say, how do you like old, quite clear Horton?
The clearer she gets, the more muddled I am.
Look, don't let me interrupt your career.
What number would you like, please?
Listen, sweetheart, I don't expect you to be an elephant.
But a cow could remember for 2 minutes I'm waiting to hear Sweet Jam.
Who's a cow? Why, you double-breasted stuffed shirt...
Careful, honey, careful.
She disconnects, and Benny walks away from the jukebox.
What this country needs is more supper hours.
Delicious thought. I feel like I've been on a turntable.
You have, dear. Hey, we gotta hurry. I've gotta be back in 45 minutes to make a recording.
Well, the way I feel, I could wolf a whole meal in 5 minutes.
As they start out.
Why didn't I think of that before?
What, dinner?
No, a recording. Here's a real chance for Marge to make like an agent. And a record's much easier to carry around for auditions.
Sounds expensive.
Nonsense, there's a band waiting to make a record for a new singer. And Hank's a friend of mine. Well, we can slip you in for free.
Well, that's wonderful.
Oh, come on, what are we waiting for?
Take over, Mary.
He takes her hand and hurries her out. Back in the studio.
First recording, huh?
Uh-huh. Do we get a rehearsal?
Take it easy. Don't expect too much when you hear the record. You may not sound like yourself at all.
Yeah, I told her people don't recognize themselves the first time.
The engineer positions Judy in front of the mic, then goes to the control booth. As the piano player waits with the band, the engineer places an uncut vinyl record on a disc recorder. He slides a cutting stylus over the spinning disc. And when it starts cutting, he signals the band.
If you want to sway my existence, say it with love. You can take away my resistance. Say it with love. When you talk so nice, you put a kick in it. There's such a trick in it.
Standing near her, Joe smiles and nods to the engineer, who smiles back and watches the grooves being cut.
If you want your heart to start singing, say it with love. If you want that lark to start swinging, give him a shot. I can guarantee what I'm speaking of. We will harvest acres of stardust. If you say it with love, why don't you say it with love? If you want to sway my...
The engineer carefully removes the strips of leftover acetate as the cutting continues.
You can take away my resistance. Say it with love. When you talk so nice, you put a kick in it. There's such a trick in it. I see paradise waiting down the road. If you want your heart to start singing, say it with love. If you want that lark to start swinging, give him a shot.
The engineer brushes off debris.
Guarantee what I'm speaking of. We will harvest acres of stardust if you say it with love. Why don't you say it with love?
They all turn to the booth. Excitedly, Judy and Joe approach it and step inside to the stopped recorder. Meanwhile, Frelick ushers Phoebe into the studio, where he shows her the band.
Phoebe Forbes? What's she doing here?
Yeah, and that's the boss with her. He's always bringing in some blonde to make a recording.
I better go. Gotta get back to the merry-go-round.
Okay, Judy, can I walk you home after work tonight?
Sure, but stay clear of Quite Clear Horton. I still need my job.
Right-o.
As Judy leaves, Frelick pulls up the microphone for Phoebe. Patting her back, he heads for the booth, where Joe and the engineer busy themselves. Frelick goes to the engineer.
Ready, Hank?
Yes, sir, just as soon as I put on a new record.
What did you have there?
Oh, I was testing some new equipment.
Well, let's continue on that dish. We can't be wasteful in times like these.
Oh, I can use this for
something else. No, we can use that one quite all right.
Yes, sir.
Holding Judy's disc, Hank turns to the recorder as Frelick bustles out.
We're all ready, Phoebe.
What are you going to sing?
She hands music to the piano player, but notices the music Judy sang.
Oh, I'll sing this one. This is most suited to my voice.
Anything my little hummingbird wants. Got to have everything just right. If her voice registers like her personality, why...
You want it on the telephone, Mr. Frelick.
Oh, that's all right. We'll wait for you, Mr. Frelick.
No, can't waste time. You go right ahead. I'll be back in just a moment.
As Frelick leaves the studio, Hank puts the cutting stylus on another part of the disc, away from Judy's recording. As it cuts, the band starts for Phoebe to sing.
If you want to sway my existence, say it with love. You can take away my resistance. Kick in it, there's such a trick in it.
piano player grimaces. In the booth, Hank reluctantly monitors the recording as Joe waits nearby anxiously.
If you want that lark to start swinging, give him a shot. I can guarantee that I'm speaking of.
In his office, Freilich picks up the phone.
Hello?
Mr. Freilich? This is Spumoni. Spumoni over the tropics, you know. Yes. Now, Mr. Freilich, I am sorry I have to be so firm about this, but something has to be done. We are opening in 1 week. You have sold me an orchestra, a singer, and specialty acts, but so far I have not even seen your orchestra.
They haven't even showed up to rehearsal. That's the least I could expect from them.
Now, Mr. Spumoni. I'm sure they'll be along shortly. You see, there was some little difficulty over orchestrations.
And when do you expect to have the entire organization ready?
Tomorrow. Positively, Mr. Spumoni. Tomorrow, positively, everyone will be together.
And how about the girl singer?
Well, yes, that's been taken care of, too. Mr. Jackson found one today. I'm sure you'll like her very much. Especially acts. Oh, they've been taken care of, too. Yes. Goodbye, Mr. Spumoni.
He hangs up while in the studio. She looks around, satisfied. In the booth, Joe turns to Hank. Phoebe takes her things and saunters to them. Hank finishes cleaning the disc.
Oh, I just can't wait to hear my first record.
Maybe you had better.
Freilich returns and goes into the booth.
All finished, eh?
Yes, sir.
Oh, I'm so excited, Mr. Freilich. Can we hear it now?
Certainly.
Hank takes the disc from the recorder.
Never mind, Hank. We'll hear it in my office. Much more cozy in there.
He takes it in Phoebe's arm and escorts her out.
Now what do we do?
Don't worry, I'll get it back after he plays it.
Yeah, if he doesn't break it up when he hears that voice.
In the office, Freilich plays one of the tracks on the record.
You can take away my resistance. Pay it with love.
As he listens happily,
if you want to hold,
Phoebe grows confused.
Say it with love. When you talk so nice, you put a kick in it, there's such a trick in it.
She stands.
Well, that's not my voice.
Freilich steps to her.
No one ever recognizes his own voice the first time on a record. It's beautiful. Every bit as good as I expected.
He takes her hand.
My dear, dear girl. My sweet little flower. I'll make you the sensational star of the season. What a voice. What feeling? You'll be the Freilich discovery.
She smiles.
Confidentially, my dear, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to release that record just as it is. I'll put it on the back of the new Benny Jackson record that I'm releasing Saturday. You know what else I'm going to do for you? Sell you to Benny Jackson for the tropics. Yes, sir. You'll open with Jackson at the tropics.
Oh, Mr. Freilich, I just think you're wonderful. I just don't know how I can repay you.
Why, now, my dear, if I'm going to put that record on the market, we'll need a little contract. I'll have it drawn up right away.
He turns on his intercom.
Miss Smith, send in one of our blank contracts. Thank you.
He sits in his chair, and she sits on his desk. Later, at the boarding house, the tenants eat supper.
Judy, some roast chicken?
Roast chicken.
Oh, so sorry, it isn't roast chicken, is it?
An acrobat takes a sandwich from a tray, which Merlini covers and reveals a roast chicken. Judy sticks a fork in it and lifts it to her plate.
Remember when he killed him in Bridgeport, those 3 days we played, we had him in the aisles.
I'm going to shoot cramp.
Merlini serves water.
Guys, you know, not a straight man in the house here. Get her. What is that, water? You kidding, water?
Chicken dinner and water. Wish we had some wine.
Wine.
Merlini pours for Marge.
Yeah?
A glass of red wine.
Look!
She picks it up.
Not bad.
Hey, Marlene, can you do anything about our room rent?
Joe walks in.
Ah, greetings.
Salutations.
Hello, Joe.
Hello, Joe.
Hey, whose birthday?
We're holding a wake over Judy's new job.
Where were you?
I was sorry to miss you, Judy, but I got mixed up on some work.
Work, horrible stuff. Did you get the record?
Not yet. Fraley got a saving streak. He used the same platter for Phoebe. Such a voice shouldn't happen to a cat.
Phoebe? What record?
Joe thought that if I made a record, you could use it to get me auditioned.
Oh.
Only Fraley took it up to his office to listen to it. But don't worry. Hank said he'd get it back for you.
Ah, Fraley won't want it when he hears that Phoebe crack.
Phoebe steps in.
Well, I do hope you don't intend to keep up this racket all night. I really need my sleep.
Marge gets up and steps to her.
I'm sure you'll all get your sleep, honey child. You really will.
Fortunately for me, I shan't have to live here much longer. It means to all to know that the United Recording Company has just signed me to a contract. Good night.
She walks away.
Good night.
Marge goes back to the others.
How did she get there?
Something's awful screwy somewhere.
It sure is. Well, one consolation, we'll get rid of her.
Well, here's to her continued absence.
Still in his robe and carrying shaving things, Blodgett approaches.
Oh, children, making merry, I see.
Hello, Mr. Blodgett. Won't you have a snack with us?
Well, I don't mind if I do. Ah, chicken, I love it.
He puts it in his pocket.
This reminds me of the dear old Happy Vaudeville days back in Chicago.
Well, happy days, Dad.
Happy days, yes.
They toast.
Happy days.
And Blodgett toasts with his shaving mug.
Hey, reminds me. I got my invitation today.
What invitation?
Joe takes a paper from his jacket and opens it.
Greetings. Having submitted yourself to a local board composed of your neighbors for the purpose of determining the place and time in which you can best serve the United States in the present emergency, you are hereby notified that you have now been selected for immediate military service. You will therefore report to the local board named below on the 9th day of August.
That's the day after tomorrow.
Yeah, it sure is.
Tomorrow! Oh, we got an invitation to the wall!
Two acrobats strut around the tables.
He's got an invitation to the wall!
Other tenants join them. And soon, Judy leads a conga line.
You got an invitation, a solid invitation, to join a lot of fellas you knew. Send your resignation to each affiliation and reach the Union Station at 2.
When Blodgett grabs for more food, Marge slaps his hand away.
There'll be hot music. You'll be getting your rent for free. There'll be steak and mashed potatoes. Movies will be cheaper. You'll travel in a sleeper. You'll have a Jeep to take you around. If you see some action, you'll be the big attraction at celebrations all over town. Hey, laddie, gotta help your Uncle Sam keep healthy.
They head into the foyer.
Daddy, by legal regulation, I accept the invitation.
Cause you're gonna help the nation settle every altercation.
So I'm taking a vacation from my private occupation.
You may give a demonstration that will bring a decoration.
And my future destination may be...
Judy opens the front door for Joe.
So long, yeah.
He leaves. In Spumoni's office.
Mr. Jackson, I am a very patient man.
Indeed you are, Mr. Spumoni.
However, my patience is wearing thin. Do you realize, Mr. Jackson, we have an opening?
We only got our orchestrations a few hours ago.
Orchestrations are only minor detail, Mr. Jackson. Just one little minor detail. Mr. Frelick assures me you will have a specialty act.
Oh, and we will have. Mr. Frelick is selecting them very carefully. Nothing but the best, you know.
And the best singer, I'm told. Where is she?
Coming up. We have several marvelous candidates. It's a matter of making a choice.
Your choice should be here now, rehearsing with a band, Mr. Jackson.
Well, you see, Mr. Spumoni...
Singer has to saw Riga made of my suit. It isn't a question whether she's going to be in the band, more the sovereign mate, or the rate. We just have it brought away for nice. So don't expect the rate every single month. We just have to borrow away for salaries, and then we can rate the safe for the morsel. So it is a treat.
You may be right, Bobo. But where is the singer?
Well, we'll have her here for the next rehearsal, Mr. Spumoni. Ah, the sweetest little vocalist you ever heard. You'll be surprised.
So will we.
Surprised are all very well, but I don't want to wait until opening night to be surprised.
Spumoni stands and leaves. Benny steps around his desk to Bobo and sits beside him.
Bobo, my son,
We're on the well-known spot.
Well, looks like we'll have to beg, borrow, or steal a... That's it.
What's it?
We steal a singer. Other guys steal from you, you steal from them. It's a thriving business.
Okay, but who do we steal and from whom?
Boss, if you'll give me the pleasure of your company at the Jukebox Emporium tonight, I shall run you off a few likely numbers.
That, my son, is not an unbright idea.
At work.
Yes, sir. Jumpin' Jiminy.
March walks in.
You ready, Judy?
Just a minute.
She puts on a record and gets it playing.
Number, please.
Then she takes another call.
Number, please.
How about the cook stove special?
The cook stove special?
Yeah, you know, home on the range.
You meet the most interesting people in your work.
Wonder where the other half of that wit is.
She gets the record and puts it on another turntable. Getting that going, she turns to Marge.
Say, did Joe get my record all right?
I'm afraid it's lost for sure, Judy.
Oh, what happened?
Nobody knows. Fred just didn't send the record back.
Gee, and I didn't even get to hear it.
Yep, the old album luck.
Making another jukebox call.
Recording a sweet jam.
Say, aren't you the one that wanted Benny Jice?
Yes, but tonight, Benny Goodman. Then Harry James.
Orrin Tucker, Glenn Gray, and Tommy Dorsey.
Oh, all for a dime. Customer's always wrong.
Look, sister, my boss wants to hear records. And when he wants to hear records, he hears records, see? And I got another quarter to back him up.
So now the stooge has a stooge.
Yes, the stooge's got a stooge. Let me tell you something. You think you can talk to people around and back and forth in place because you're behind that catalog of pelvis? What do you think this is, a ballot trade or a poppet or a salad? We're the kind of people who fought a recent heat war on my stage. And when I blow my carousel, I mean, I'll blow your face of it and swell before I was dispelled.
Give me that thing.
Marge grabs the phone.
I bet you wouldn't dare say that in English. I have a good mind to come over there and paste you.
You and who else?
Judy grabs the phone back.
Me and her, that's who, and we know a couple of Marines.
Okay, bring on your invasion force. We'll be here for another half hour.
Oh, you!
She hangs up.
Up to now, this is a dull job.
Yeah, but things are picking up. To horse, Judith, we've got a war to wage.
Carry on, Bertha.
They leave. Well, Judy's going that extra mile for customer service, isn't she? Will she ruin her chances for a career with Benny? And how long can Phoebe pass off Judy's voice as her own? Find out in the conclusion of Swing Hostess, next time on Movies for the Blind. This film has a little fun with mixing up the fictional bandleader Benny Jackson and the real one, Benny Goodman. While Judy may not get a job singing with the first Benny, the woman playing her did have a job with the second, and it made her a star. More about Martha Tilton in the next episode. To find out more about the movies, about description, and how to subscribe, go to the blog, moviesfortheblind.com, where you can also find out about this podcast's Creative Commons license. If you like the podcast, put it in writing by leaving a review on iTunes, looking up Movies for the Blind under Podcasts at the iTunes Store. You can also like us and follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and subscribe to us on YouTube, where we show you how it's done. The movies are from the Internet Archive, so please support universal access to human knowledge by visiting and donating at archive.org. Thank you for downloading and for listening. Be back next week. Take care.